Now, when they started this, they found some other things happened. They found that not only did this work for color and temperature, but they found that it worked for mass, too. Your heavier stars were up here, and if the stars got down here, they were getting less and less and less and less mass. And we found that this relationship worked very, very neatly. This is why a star down here is a red star. And they found out also that the life cycle of the star, how long the star lasted, depended on its life. These stars over here burn out within thousands of years, about 100,000 years or 800,000 years. They only last a million years. When you come down to A, they're lasting a little bit longer than solar on the electric current, if you can judge all life by that. Length of time that it's going on Earth. Again, in Act 2, it was just the beginning of the form as the stars start swelling to the giant phase. Get down to F8, and the stars are going to be formed and develop more entirely before the stars are going to be a giant. G is close to life alone. Our sun, by the way, is about halfway to the main sequence. These chain stars last far longer, and if you have a planet in the exact right space, you can have very, very highly developed civilizations here. And stars last, just incredibly long compared to the G stars. In fact, some of the stars in the center of the galaxy, I think, may be the original stars, according to some astronomers, or at least all second generation stars. The sun, by the way, formed from the dust of the stars that have been stars and burned out and started again and burned out many, many times. This is the life history of a star. Stars don't move up and down in any sequence. Originally, they thought we might have a big star, and as it burned out, it went down in any sequence, so that cooler and cooler and redder and redder. This isn't what happened. You get a large old mass and starts contracting, and as it contracts, it gets brighter and brighter. Well, actually, it gets brighter because it's cooler, but it gets smaller and smaller and a higher, what they call a younger color. It goes up the main sequence here. And then it gets on the main sequence, and on the main sequence, this is when it's burning hydrogen on the core. And the hydrogen burning phase is the phase where it lasts the longest. It stays here, it doesn't change. And this is why this is so important, why the main sequence is important to life. Because at this stage, it's burning hydrogen, it's not changing its temperature. And it takes eons for it to be at a steady temperature for life to form. So it's a very, very slow process. Once it leaves the main sequence, once the hydrogen is burning over the core, it starts burning around the core, it starts to swell. And this happens fairly fast. It swells up into a red giant. And this time, as it's swelling, it's going to cover the planets that were near the core. So these large giants start to make up their constellations at night, the brightness you see. These are not the stars that we have planets of life. These really tiny dim ones. You hardly notice are there, but there's a difference. Also, this stage is becoming variable. They're pulsating in and out. And so even if you had a planet, say, way out here, suppose that they had formed down here, your planet hopping out to the very edge of the solar system. Some days we would be getting a great deal of heat, some days it would be too cold, and they would not be at an even temperature, even if they could exist, but they probably couldn't. Then it starts collapsing. The hydrogen is being used up and it starts burning other things. The helium and the carbon, I think, may be starting into the atomic reaction down here. Now, if the star is bigger than the sun, it has to lose mass, or by the time it reaches here, it will explode. Now, remember, there are not very many stars that are bigger than our sun. and they would be very unlikely for that. But the only ones we need to worry about, or not worry about, the only ones we get hopes for, is that right, would be these that are unknown people. I made a cartographical diagram of the stars that are actually in the model. These are all the stars within 32 light years. The A stars, these are those bright white ones. There are no B in those stars. There's none of the great big ones. But there are some of the A's. But there's only four A stars that are within 32 light years. There's five white dwarfs. There's seven of the F stars, 27 G's, which is again like our sun, 50 of K's, and 138 of these tiny red dwarfs. So all the stars would be the red dwarfs. Now the stars that could have life are those in this little block here. Some of these G's are too large, some of them are off the main sequence. Some of them are companions to other double stars, and the double stars are not likely to survive. Now, these over here are the ones that could be common, and they probably don't have life of their own. And these are the ones that possibly could, if the planet is exactly the right size and exactly the right place, and have to have both the right size and the right place. This is the picture of our position in the galaxy. Here is our galaxy seen sideways, our galaxy in the Milky Way, as we know. We are about halfway out from one of the spiral arms of the galaxy. Now, the stars are broken into two groups. The population one stars, and I don't know why they call them one, because it's very confusing, are the ones that are near us. The population two stars are actually the youngest stars, I think they call those population ones. I mean, the oldest stars, these are the ones that some of these may be the very first stars formed, using this one big bang. And these stars are a little bit different in composition than these. These stars in the center of the galaxy are much purer in hydrogen. Now, I haven't seen this in any of the astronomy books, these stars in the center, if they have hydrogen, and if planets form at the same time the stars form, the stars are named hydrogen, they could have gas planets like Jupiter and Saturn, but our terrestrial planets are basically iron, silicon, and things like that. And I don't see how they could have terrestrial planets. Most of your books will say the most advanced societies will be here, because these have lasted the longest time. If there's no solid ground to walk on, I don't see how you can have a terrestrial planet. The stars are the things that make the elements. And if they haven't had a chance to go through this process of making them, to take this generation of stars burning out, so why they're burning out with the elements that they made, and if they haven't had a chance to burn out and form these elements, the elements aren't going to be there. Out here, they've burned out and formed and burned out and formed and burned out and formed, and you have the elements that are needed for life made. So I believe that probably you'll find most of your life out here in the center of the planet, if they just read some of the astronomy books. Now, the astronomers have to map the size about the way that we map the Earth. First, when they look at the stars, they look like a great big bowl over them. And it looks like the stars were all pasted on the inside of that bowl. And they had a map in some way, so they took the pole of the Earth and they extended it. And the north pole of the Earth extended out and came the north pole of the bowl. The south pole of the Earth became the south pole of the bowl. They took a plane right through the equator and cut the bowl, and this became the celestial equator. Now, divided it into 24 equal parts, they call these hours. So instead of having longitude, they plot their stars in hours and minutes and seconds. But they have degrees, just like we do, plus degrees for those in the northern hemisphere and science degrees for the southern hemisphere. So if you have a star here, in our catalogs, it would be listed as 20 hours, about 20 minutes, and about 47 degrees, plus 47 degrees. So any star from Earth is just given hours and minutes and degrees, and you know exactly where to look at that star. Here's the celestial sphere, only tilted straight up now with the North Pole here and the South Pole here, and Earth in the middle. Here is how it's worked on the model. To get the degree, the hour of the ground that you need to place your stars, I put them down at the bottom and the top so your plane is going to stay all the way up there for the equator. And to get your degrees up and down, I need a plastic protractor. And then, now to place the star actually in space instead of just on a sphere where they're all placed out the same distance, you need one more measurement, and that's the light year south. And that, in any model, you can make it any set where you want it to. I chose a centimeter and a half so I could get the most I could, largest distance between the stars I could, so any error in hanging wouldn't count for as much. And I placed a pin in here, and then this arm, you lift it up and down, so suppose the star was what we had before, about 47 degrees up, and on the 20-hour, I was putting the protractor around 20 hours, 20 minutes, lift the arm up to the right angle, and then measure out on the arm, put a little dot on the protractor, go straight up, drill a hole, straight down, drill a hole, hang the bead, and it would be exactly the same viewing position as you can see at the moment, but the right scale out, then I went around and drew all the stars. I am not a very good dog, but I carried out noticeably, and I couldn't remember to drop the E or not, but I looked up the dictionary. And then I went ahead and did some other photographs and some other charts, and I thought, actually, I photographed this, and didn't even bother to put it in. Didn't even notice it until I got it on the screen. But of the 188 systems of symmetry, you might have better sources in the models. I still did some of the points. But of those actors in the symmetry that you might have, there's only 14 that are brighter than our sun. And there are 50 that would be visible if they were all placed out. We call attributes magnitude, is a comparison of all the stars, you line them all out the same distance away. You look at them all and you see which one is brighter than the other. Well, at absolute magnitude, there's only 50 that could be seen at all. And of these near stars, now you think the near stars you see because they're near, but you can't. There's at least 138 that you can't see, and they can't erase the more that are out there. Actually, I should have this up to because they found two things on each chart. So it's 140 right now. They also think there may be about 200 stars out there that they haven't found. Some of the things that come in the model, I'm beginning to doubt that. I think maybe that's a little too high. Now, this is system. This means that some of these are double stars, some are triple, some are quadruple stars. If you took them by components, and I put this plus here because some of the double stars, I don't know anything about the components. They're spectroscopic binary. This means they're so close together you get one light from them. You know they're doubles, but you don't know what kind. You only know that, say, it looks like a G star. It could be two G's together or something like this. But these spectroscopic binaries, I count it as a single, and they shouldn't be. They should be broken up into parts. But again, I don't know how many parts there are. And also there's some black companions, or dark companions, I shouldn't say black, because then they start glowing and you can't see. But anyway, there's 237 components there. Of these, only 15 are brighter than this one, and only 55 would be visible at 10 light years away. And 182 of these plus are telescopic. Visual magnitude, this means what you actually There's nothing brighter than our sun to us. They're on figure 63, that can be seen, and 125 plus that can't be. This surprised me. I hadn't expected anything like this. I thought most of the evening close stars would be visible. This is probably, to me, about the most important thing I found. I found the stars seem to form in groups of generally the white kind. Like you have G stars seem to form in just two areas. The large A stars in area F form the plane coming down this way. The small K stars, the small ones, form in a little cluster here. But behind them were a whole group of the small N stars. And you have clusters of the N stars that are scattered in through here. Nothing in astronomy says anything about them, and I think maybe because you feel it's never been done like this before, and you may not realize it. You can't stop this from looking through the catalog. You can only see it in 3D through a model. So I'll find out more about that with you, Dr. Mitchell, tomorrow. This is a view from the model that shows, I tried to show the grouping there. Here you have the one area over here is the area where almost all the planets that have life are, And this area, from here on in, has practically nothing. The tiny man, the white dwarf. There's a little cluster up here that could. This one is put down here, but this one is beyond the 3 to 5 years. So a lot of the extra ones I stuck in the model. At this point, I'm going to maybe see for I have been up at Seabay and went over the sun and I couldn't take through the model because it's quite a distance from my physical very well. And I have a few experts here that I've got from the invention talk and look at pictures of the area in which this happened. Air at the dragon, you know, it's plain in the white mountains. The area over here, the traffic here, it's just picked up in the evil.
Is it in the Marshall?
Yes.
Did you have it in the
race? Yes, it is. The quality is not very good. Thank you. You think of you, what you do, you attract. You do, 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 you do,